kind of the general thoughts that we're trying to gather in this liturgical season. But the application is a little different to all of us. So we're here, our focus is on Our Lady and in the connection with Advent and Our Lady. That's kind of our focus for us here. But to try to get everything, there's so much that we could think about. We could think of the upcoming our feast here for our parish, the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. We talk about the starting of Advent tomorrow, which we'll talk more about in the sermon tomorrow. But I wanted to boil it down to something that's digestible for us. It's one simple point that we can take away and focus on, because there's a lot here. So just try to find one thing that's a common ground. And so today I want to talk to you about silence. Maybe most of us here, we already experience a lot of silence in our daily lives already, depending on circumstances. So my point isn't strictly we're supposed to be like religious, like Carthusians or something. Strict silence. No, that's not the point. The point is more about purifying the opportunities of silence that we already do have. Most of us already have those opportunities. But if we don't have those opportunities, or not as many as we wish, to try and make some more of those opportunities this Advent season. Periods of silence. Now, why is this? What's the purpose of silence? Just for mortification purposes, so we can be like the religious, once again, like the Carthusians? Well, no, that's not the main focus. It's much deeper than that. So let's think about silence. When God desires to bring about the beginning of a new life, He does so in silence. That is the starting point. So we talked about this last Sunday, this idea that the idea of creation, the beginning of the world, how that's connected with the coming of Christ, both at Christmas and the end of the world, kind of summarizing all that. It's liturgy is guiding us in this direction this time of year. The coming of our Lord, Advent, that's the whole thought. So we know that at the beginning of the world, we talked about this on Sunday, that there at the world, there's like this void. The world was a void, and then it was empty. It was dead silent, and then God created. So now applying this to the personal level, to our own spiritual life, we are obviously part of that creation, all of us. God created us. He had us in His mind from the very beginning of creation, that one day we would come to be and we would exist. So God, He gives us life. He gives us everything that we have, everything that we are, every moment of our day, every week, every year, every circumstance that comes up in our day, every little thing that we don't sometimes think about, all that God sees and prepares for us in a spiritual way. So we have these talents, these abilities that we are called to perfect. We are called to become holy. And holiness, we know that means, the general meaning of that is becoming everything that God wants us to become. Becoming holy, what He started with His creating us. Holy, achieving what He wants of us. And that's the whole point of the confraternity, striving after holiness. And the manner in which we do that is through Jesus, union with Him through Mary, through Jesus through Mary. That's our focus. So thinking on that in this Advent season, one exercise that I would recommend for all of us is take those opportunities of silence that we already do have, or make some opportunities, make some time, and place yourself with Mary in Bethlehem. Just try to form that imagery. You don't have to say anything, you don't have to necessarily do anything. Just place yourself there with Mary, mentally formulate that scene in your mind. And that imagery would go something like this. That night that Christ came into this world, Mary and Joseph, they were tired from traveling. We know that they were subject to the elements. They did not have it easy. They were subject to the dirt, the cold, the weariness of traveling. There was no room in the inn on the night of Christmas. St. Joseph is beside himself, trying to provide and take care of our Blessed Mother and our Lord. And we know Mary, this hurts her, the fact that she can see that, how it's hurting Joseph, that want to be able to provide, and it wasn't God's will, how that would have been a source of hurt for Mary. So we have to realize that she knows the mission of Christ. She knows the purpose of his life. It's not like she's oblivious to these things. She knows that he's going to be persecuted. But in Bethlehem, the night that Christ was born, and this is our focus for this Advent season, at the birth of Christ, Mary was not agitated. She was not worried about the future. She was not planning anything. She was at peace. She was fully united with God's will. So she was putting the other things aside. They meant nothing. Even though they were very real, very, very, very real, very severe consequences. Obviously, we know that Herod sought to destroy the Christ child shortly after his birth. So these things are imminent danger. This imagery of Advent, this symbolism of the silence, this is the same exact thing that we experience right now in this life, day to day, especially here in church. We know that our Lord, he's before us in the tabernacle in silence. It's the same thing. And it's this way, it's going to be this way, it's God's will that it's this way until the end of time, the end of the world. Christ comes again. It won't be silent anymore. For that moment when he comes back, it won't be silent. Obviously, at the end of the world, there is great tribulation and all these things that are happening. It won't be silent then. And likewise, the moment when we die, it's not going to be silent. We're either going to hear the words, "Come, blessed by my Father, who possess the kingdom which was prepared for you from the beginning," or those other words, "Depart from me." So it's a break in that silence. But right now, our point, our purpose is is a refocusing on that aspect of silence. So in one sense, that moment of judgment is a terrifying thought. Just that thought in itself, left to ourselves, left to our own devices and imagination, left to our own human strength, that is a terrifying, absolutely terrifying thought. But on the other hand, it shouldn't be that terrifying when we remind ourselves of that reality that Mary is our mother. And we easily do this, we easily remind ourselves of this reality, especially in the prayer of the Memorare. And that's the whole purpose of that prayer, is recalling to our mind, remembering, the first word of the Memorare, remember. Bringing that forward into our mind that it's not us, we're not doing it of ourself, we're cooperating with it. Mary's guiding us, she's forming us, and we're just the ones saying yes to that. Never was it known. It never happened. Never will happen. That anyone who fled to thy protection was left unheeded. Everyone who goes to Mary receives that help because she's our mother. It's that reality, reminding ourselves of that reality. And we know that if we stick close to our mother, we will not go astray. We hear this from St. Augustine, all the way back to the 400s. St. Augustine wrote around 450, around that time. St. Augustine, he gave us that beautiful dogmatic truths already in the first couple centuries, explaining to us this exact thing that we hold on to the point of the confraternity. Go to St. Augustine, he says this: during this life, all the elect are hidden in Mary's womb, and they are not truly born until the Blessed Mother brings them forth to eternal life. And this is confirmed by St. Louis de Montfort in True Devotion to Mary. Since Mary has formed Jesus Christ, the head of the elect, it is also her office to form the members of that head, that is to say, all true Christians. So this theme, this meaning of Advent that we're going into, we're starting tomorrow, Advent means the coming of Christ. So the realization here is, it isn't as much about what we ourselves do to prepare. Obviously, we have to cooperate. It's more about conforming ourselves with the formation that God wills through His Mother. That's what we're trying to retrain our mind to think in that direction. Remember that the world is trying to, the whole purpose of the world, the spirit of this world, the devil, his whole focus, his number one goal, is if he can do one thing, all he's trying to do is distract us from that reality of Christ. Whatever he can possibly do to distract us from that. That's because that's the thing that saved us. So him distracting us from that is his focus. And that's the world trying to distract us this month of Advent. The world, all the hustle and bustle, all the distraction. And it really resembles that first night of Christmas, where the Savior comes, but the world is doing what it normally does. But for our part, we know that. That's kind of the given. We know that. But the other part of that equation is making sure we don't become our own source of distraction. What do I mean by that? That can be kind of confusing. Well, that's basically, sometimes we can get in our mind, obviously Advent isn't like as strict as Lent. But it's obviously a time of preparation, so there is a sense of mortification and penance, starting over, a fresh start. There is a sense of that. But sometimes we can get in our mind that I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to pray this and that. And then sometimes, because of human weakness, it's not like we directly will it, but our human weakness, we either fail in one point, and then this is with anything with spiritual life, you know that we're our own worst person to go to for spiritual direction or guidance and something like that. So the key is to either find someone or spiritual reading. It's hard in these times. I want to get a proper spiritual director that I can go to and really have that need met. It's a true need that we don't know ourselves. We need someone else to help us to get past our own pride. We need that. So that's a hard thing in our situation today. We can find ways to fill that void. And so a good place to start is a good examination of conscience, starting with that silence with Mary in Bethlehem in that cave. In that piece, saying, I know what I am, and I am not overly trying to analyze myself. I'm going to go to Mary, and she's going to analyze me. Then she's going to tell me what to do. That's the key. And that can come about through other means, obviously. It's praying for that, and that can come through natural means, you know, the priest, or a good example, or spiritual reading. Mary will speak to us through those means. So we can start off Advent focusing on listening to the voice of God in silence, listening to His voice. He's the only one who speaks to us in silence. That's the power of God. He can speak to us just as we're speaking right now in silence. So we should ask God, help us to overcome help us overcome our primary fault, whatever that is, the main thing that we struggle with. Ask God, please take this thing away from us. Remove this one attachment that's in my heart that's attached to this thing, so that by Christmas, that hole, whatever I take away, whatever I pull out and get rid of, God's going to fill that hole. God's going to give the increase. He's going to help us to grow in the spiritual life, whatever we get rid of, whatever we can remove. So the key is stick to something very simple, something that we can actually achieve, and that's the key to progress. Something that we want to overcome, something that we, our primary fault. So we think, with that, keeping it simple, going to Our Lady, asking her to help us examine our conscience. And then we can, once we do that, or once we get help doing that, then we go with a tactic that directly attacks that one thing. So we remove something and we add something. That's to keep it really simple. So we try to find something that's connected with that, that's connected in any sort of way with that thing we're trying to overcome, whether it's our own will, attachment to our own time, attachment to our own ideas. This could be fault. It doesn't necessarily even have to be big sin. It could just be simple. What's a fault that we have? Our examination of conscience not as good as they should be. Our rosary, our prayer devotion. Do we tend to talk too much about things that don't uplift? Stuff like that. That we can remove that. And then once we remove that, God's going to fill that. So that's the key there, is remove something. Give up a little thing. It doesn't have to be big. It can be very small, but the key is that it's connected. It's intimately connected with the thing that we're trying to grow in. That's the key there. Give up one thing, it's connected. Then we add something. Something that's really, doesn't have to be really small. It doesn't have to be big. Then we add something small to combat that one thing. And if we do that, then we'll be sure of making some progress. We won't be spinning our wheels trying to examine ourselves, and we let Our Lady do that. She's our mother. That's her job. We give that to her. So when the distractions of this life come during this Advent season, they're bound to come. It's going to happen. That's a given. It's going to happen. When those distractions come, we're trying to make the best use of this Advent season we possibly can. We refocus our mind to to that imagery of our Blessed Mother in silence about awaiting the coming of our Lord. Not agitated, not worried, not planning the future. No, she stops. She's there in silence of our Lord. She has our Lord. She doesn't need anything else. Silence. And there's moments of our Lord.